بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today we begin with Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And to begin with this, we're going to continue our tradition, and that is to connect the previous surah with this surah. So in doing this, we say that in the previous surah, which is Surah Al-A'la, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about two groups. One group that is headed towards the paradise, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Right, who can promise to do these three ways and three pathways to success, then Allah Azza wa Jal promises such people the paradise. That was the first group. And the second group that was mentioned are people that are headed towards the hellfire. And so the surah ended by mentioning the people that are headed towards the hellfire, headed towards the wrong direction. Allah Azza wa Jal says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Rather, you give preference to the worldly life, and you prefer the worldly life over the hereafter. So this sort of, it's concentrating the fact that this such group is headed towards the wrong direction, and that is the hellfire. So Allah Azza wa Jal is criticizing and pointing out the reality of the people who give preference to the worldly life, meaning that they are headed towards failure in this world and in the hereafter. These are the people that are being addressed in the very beginning of this surah. So this surah begins by addressing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know this because of the attached pronoun, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. هَلْ أَتَاكَ, this kaf here is the attached pronoun, and that refers to second person. In other words, the address is to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did the news of Al-Ghashiyah arrive or come to you? And the benefit of knowing this is as follows. You see, in the previous surah, it ended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to the disbelievers directly in second person. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You give preference to worldly life. That's how it concluded, second person. But now in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, there is another second person, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying to him, did the news of the overwhelming, the covering event, that's Al-Ghashiyah, we'll come to it, did the news of that come to you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become angry from the kuffar, from the disbelievers. Now He has turned away from them, and now He's speaking to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But He's speaking to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about them. So He doesn't direct them anymore. He's directing the speech to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what He's talking to him is about these people here. Now, let's just note some things about the format of this speech. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Now, we find this style in other places in the Qur'an. For example, it already came with us in Surah Al-Buruj. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. You know, we found هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. And so on. This is, it's common, and it's a style that is always in the Qur'an. And هَلْ, the word hal, يعني something, hal ataka hadith al ghashiya, it has two meanings, the scholars argue. One meaning is that it could mean as in sort of the style of a question. Hal, did the news of al ghashiya come to you? Did the news? So in other words, we can understand hal as being a question posed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other meaning of hal is qad. In other words, it doesn't mean a question, but هَلْ أَتَاكَ would mean قَدْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. What that would translate to be as the news of Al-Ghashiyah has in fact, indeed, it has received, it has come to you. So now we're going to focus on هَلْ as being a question and seeing exactly, you know, what kind of benefit can we get from this. Now, أتاك, the word هل أتاك, this word أتاك comes from the word أتا, which means to come and arrive. And in the Arabic language, there is another word that means to come and arrive, and that is جاء. You probably know the word جاء. جاء means to come, and أتا also means to come. So if they both mean the same, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say قَدْ جَاءَكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ? What's the difference if they're both the same? Well, there is a slight difference between the word أَتَى and جَاءَ. The word جَاءَ, when it's used in the Qur'an, then it is only used for something that's enormous and heavy, something grand, something huge that arrives. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal says, جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. جَاءَ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. When the command of Allah comes, it's something huge that will come, so use the word جَاءَ. فَإِذَا, we read already, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةِ فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَةِ. You know, the deafening, the drowning calamity. This is actually speaking about when the day of judgment comes and occurs. That's a huge event. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Fajr, which is the surah after Surah Al-Ghashiyah, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. When Allah Azza wa Jal Himself comes, that's huge. So جَاءَ, when it comes in the Qur'an, it's used for speaking about a huge event. Now, something that arrives with ease, then أَتَى is used. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Did the news of Musa reach you? The news is something easy to come. It's just words and a story to mention, and it's very easy to be delivered. Now, let me just use both of these words in one example. Say, for example, it's a school, and we had sort of a prime minister or a president was to walk into the school, and you have a student walking in. If you are going to say the student walked in, you'll say أتى الطالب. The student came. You'll use the word أتى because the student coming is not something big. He always comes to the school. But a president coming to a school, that never happens, perhaps once a lifetime. So the most more appropriate in Arabic, you'd say جَاء الرَّئِيس, right? So the president came, but you use the word جَاء. In other words, you're alluding to a grand arrival. Something huge came. He doesn't come by himself. He'll come with a group with him, people from behind him, from in front of him, and so on. So that's how جَاء is used. Also, subhanAllah, the way أَتَى and جَاء are pronounced. When you pronounce جَاءَ, it requires more effort than the word أَتَى. You say أَتَى, أَتَى is very easy to pronounce, in other words, alluding to something easy coming. And when you say جَاءَ, then the pronunciation of جَاءَ is stronger, in other words, alluding to something huge that is coming. Now let's see it in this ayah here. Allah Azza wa Jal says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. We said that al-ghashiyah is an adjective, a descriptive word of yawm al-qiyamah. Another word for yawm al-qiyamah is al-ghashiyah. We'll study it in detail when we get to it. And so you'd think al-ghashiyah, man, if you're saying it's the day of judgment, it's al-qiyamah, that's something huge. So why didn't Allah say, هَلْ جَاءَكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ? Well, the reason is because Allah Azza wa Jal is not speaking about the ghashiyah, the event itself happening and coming. In this ayah, he's speaking about the news of al-ghashiyah, the news. And the news that is delivered on Rasulullah ﷺ is easier than the event itself happening. So when Allah speaks about the event itself, He'll use جَاء. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةِ. Over there, He's speaking about الطَّامَّةِ, which is the drowning calamity, which is another name for the day of judgment. But in that surah, he's speaking about that event actually happening. But in this ayah, he's not speaking about the day of judgment as it's happening. He's speaking about the news of it. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيث. Did the news. And the news is news. It's easier than the event. It's easier than the event itself. So the word أَتَى was used. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Now, the other thing is, this is a question format. Did the news of al-ghashiyah come to you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the point of asking this type of question? Now, I want you to understand it this way. If you are students in a class, and you failed the test, and say I'm the principal and I walk in, And I walk in and I walk straight to the teacher. And I look at the teacher, who, by the way, has done his job. He's taught you everything. And I say to him, didn't you teach them everything you're supposed to? But if I'm shouting at the teacher, I'm not criticizing and I'm not angry with the teacher. I'm actually criticizing the students, and I'm doing it in two ways. The first way is I'm turning away from them, so I'm not talking to them. That already illustrates anger. And the other thing is, I'm talking to the teacher, almost reinforcing the idea that yes, he in fact did his job. But I don't want to look at the students because they failed me. So I look at him and I say, didn't you teach them everything they're supposed to? And that's doing two things. One is I'm angry with the students. The other is like I'm saying to the teacher, yes, you've done your job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with these disbelievers who gave preference to the worldly life, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and they denied the concept of the Day of Judgment. And because they have already, and why is Allah depicting anger, and why is He being angry at them, is because they've already been taught everything, and they've already been told about the Day of Judgment. Where? In the previous surah, how did it end? إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. You've been taught this. It's already in the legacy of your forefathers. So when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is in Mecca teaching Quraysh, right? This is not something new. The concept of the Day of Judgment and these teachings that came in Surah Al-A'la is not something new. Allah Azza wa Jal said this is in Suhuf Ibrahim. And we said that Quraysh ascribe themselves, they tie themselves with the legacy of Ibrahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is something you already know. And you've still denied this Day of Judgment. So the beginning of this surah comes a bit more tougher. And same thing to the Jews in Medina. These people, they tie their legacy. It begins with Musa alayhi salam. And then from after him, Isa alayhi salam. So he says, صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. In other words, anger is being depicted at them as well. Because these teachings have already been with Musa alayhi salam. Why haven't you still learnt this lesson? And why haven't you still learnt the concept of the Day of Judgment? So the message has got to them from their previous prophets. And as we said, the same message is found in Suhuf Ibrahim and Musa. So now, in threatening words, and in tough, angry words, isn't it enough that the news of the covering event has come to you? So Allah Azza wa Jalla is directing this to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's anger at the disbelievers. You see, the news has come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it has come to the kuffar, to the mushrikeen, to the disbelievers, but they still didn't change. They still haven't moved. So this surah begins with the depiction of punishment and torture, and it begins with the horrors of the Day of Judgment and of the hellfire. And why is the hellfire mentioned first? You're going to see in a few ayat. تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةً تُسْقَى مِنْ عَيْنٍ آنِيَةً. Why is the hellfire mentioned first? Because these people that are deserving of the hellfire were mentioned at the end in the previous surah. So now the beginning of this surah continues this conversation and says where these people end up. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ. The word hadith literally means something that occurs. So an event that happens. And also it's used in the meaning of something new. Like for example, you say hadith. An accident, in Arabic they say hadith sayyara, right? Hadith sayyara, car accident. Why do they call it hadith? Because an accident, it just happened right now. Something new that just happens. So that's, you can use the word hadith. And hadith means literally something that occurs. And it could be something new that just happens. And it also could be an old event. Now, the mention of the Day of Judgment has come in the Quran over and over and over and over again. It's not something new. But now it's been brought to your attention as though you've never heard it before. And it feels like this is the first time you've really internalized it, and it's going to be a new thing to you. Have you ever heard of this concept when you know something and then someone tells you about it and you say, oh subhanAllah, it's like I've heard it for the first time. But you already knew it, But the way he says it to you is in a different angle, so you now you have a new appreciation and a new angle to what he's saying, although it's the same thing. So what's happening here, the word hadith is being used as though it is something new. Now Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, have a new look at it. Have a new look at the concept of the Day of Judgment. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ الْغَاشِيَةِ, the scholars, they said that this could be referring to either the Day of Judgment or it either could refer to the hellfire. Now there's nothing correct more than the other. They're both correct. That's how we understand. As we come, I'll give you an explanation of this. But the word al-ghashiyah comes from the word ghasha. And ghasha literally means to cover something up entirely. Right? Taghtiyah, they say. يعني ghasha بمعنى taghtiyah. You cover entirely something. And it's used to describe the events of the next life, al-qiyamah. As I told you, al-ghashiyah is an adjective of al-qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that day and its events will cover. It will cover the entire earth. Now you know, in previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to us that when the Day of Judgment, when it begins, when it starts, what happens? The sky will tear. Right? إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. That's what will happen. And the sky will tear and it will start peeling. And the sky covers us. It's our cover. So when the signs of the Day of Judgment starting by the sky happen, then already we've been covered by the events of the Day of Judgment. So it was called Al-Ghashiyah because it covers us. Also, another beautiful meaning of Al-Ghashiyah, you know, in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, that you give preference to worldly life. Now, you know, people, they're busy with their business, with their family, with their work, whatever it is, with entertainment. And this world, it covers people's minds and it covers the people's hearts. But when this event, Al-Ghashiyah, when it takes place and when it comes, it'll cover everything people would run for. So subhanAllah, just a second before Al-Ghashiyah, there were people that are shopping, there were people that are, they're driving, people they're checking their bank account online, there are people that are moving homes. And a second after, when this Ghashiyah comes, it covers all your plans. You're not worried and you're not thinking of anything except of what's happening right now, which is Al-Ghashiyah, which is the Day of Judgment. So it was called Al-Ghashiyah because it covers your worries. You know, a second before, you're planning about what you're going to do in 2 weeks. A second later, when the Ghashiyah happens, forget about that plan. What happened? The Ghashiyah covered up that plan. Now you're worried about what's happening right now before your own eyes. So now, the benefit of the question, again, there are another few benefits, and that is to confirm the matter as well. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ, to confirm the matter. You know, didn't it come to you? Meaning for sure it has come to you. And you know, just like you tell your kid, your son, didn't I tell you don't do this? In other words, yes, I told you don't do this. But you ask a question. And you say, didn't I tell you go there? In other words, I told you go there. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, I have given you the news of Al-Ghashiyah, but I'll put it in a way that is new altogether so you can have a better understanding of it. This is the word hadith as well. And the other implication is to grab attention of the listener. You know, like for example, you say, didn't you listen to what I said? Didn't you? When you repeat yourself and you say, didn't you listen? It comes out with a threatening tone. You're trying to get the attention of the listener. It comes with a threatening tone. Now, even though the address is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the real threat is not to him, rather it's to those that are not listening to him. That's where the real threat is. So subhanallah, this question actually carries beautiful two implications, and that is that هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ, on one side, it is criticizing and scolding the disbelievers, and on the other side, it's supporting the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That yes, you are not to worry. You know, the news has got to you, but it's I'm not going to speak to them because I'm angry at them. So it has these two sides to it. It's a support for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, confirming that yes, you have been given this a message and you have preached this message. Now, there's also a beautiful hadith that comes here. And I want you to listen and focus on the words in it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed by an old woman who was reciting Hal Ataka Hadithul Ghashiyah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood and he heard her recite the ayah and he said, Na'am qad ja'ani. Na'am qad ja'ani. Although he's answering the question, she's reciting Hal Ataka Hadithul Ghashiyah. Did the news of Al Ghashiyah come to you? And he's standing outside and he didn't say qad atani, he said qad ja'ani. And what did we say ja'a is used for? Something heavy. In other words, when the news of the Day of Judgment came unto Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it came heavy unto him. But the news itself that came from Allah came easy to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he received it, he didn't say qad atani, he said qad ja'ani. In other words, when it did come down onto him, it was a huge thing for him. So huge, he said, قَدْ جَاءَنِي. SubhanAllah, even the wording of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم depicted that this is something serious. But let's see how serious this is. Now Allah Azza wa Jal begins to explain. He says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. وُجُوهٌ. وُجُوهٌ, faces, comes from the word وَجَه. وَجَه means a face. And actually وُجُوه, here, it's the grammatical position, we refer to it as al-mubtada, the subject. And usually in the Arabic language, the mubtada is supposed to begin with alif lam. You're supposed to say al-wujuh, not wujuhun. You don't begin a subject, you don't begin a sentence like this. If I was to speak about someone, I don't say rajulun and continue the sentence. I say ar-rajulu and then I continue. Right? So I say ar-rajulu jalis. The man is sitting. I don't say رَجُلٌ جَالِسٌ. You can say that, but that's not normal. Normal Arabic, you'd say al. So what we are expecting here is al-wujuh. But you know, subhanAllah, mercy of Allah that it didn't say al. Because al-wujuh would translate to the faces. The faces. When you say the faces, that means everyone. But the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal said wujuhun, the fact that there is no alif lam, now we are supposed to translate it as some faces. Some faces. The absence of alif lam gives us the translation of some faces. The other thing is that wujuhun, now the ha has two dhamma at the top. And at tanween lil'idhama. When you use tanween, it's for greatness. In other words, Allah is saying some faces, but that some are going to be many. Many faces. Now, how do you understand some and many coming together? You know, although it sounds like a contradiction. You're saying some and then you're saying many. Well, this is how we understand it. You know, when I say some of you, what does that already put in your mind? That there's another group. If I say some of you, you're already thinking there's another group. So when Allah Azza wa Jal says wujuhun, some faces, already the listener is waiting for another type of group, another type of faces to be mentioned. And Allah Azza wa Jal will mention soon after, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ. There is another sign. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from them. And then we're saying, so when we say some, we're thinking there's another group. But Allah Azza wa Jal, when He speaks about this group, and He says وُجُوهٌ with the tanween, in other words, this group is going to be many of them like this. There's going to be many of them like this. He says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ. يَوْمَئِذٍ. يَوْمَئِذٍ means on that day. On that day. But in Arabic, the normal sentence structure is that is put at the end. You say, وُجُوهٌ خَاشِعَةٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ. That's normal. But when you put يَوْمَئِذٍ before خَاشِعَةٌ, just like it is now in the middle, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ, then what that implies is al-ikhtisas. Especially. In other words, some faces, and they're going to be many, especially on that day. In other words, not now. Maybe those faces now, they're relaxed, they're happy, And that's the case. That's how the kafir is on this world. Some of them are like this. They're happy, you know, enjoying their fortunes and their wealth and their yani freedom. But Allah says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ, especially on that day, how will it be? He describes it as خَاشِعَ. Very important to understand this word, خَاشِعَ. In the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. So we have two words, يَخْشَى and خَاشِعَ. يَخْشَى, خَاشَعَ. They're two different, they're two similar words. The only difference is that one ends with ya, the other ends with a'in. Khashiya means to fear something that is greater than you. Khashiya, that was in the previous surah. Khasha'a, that's this thing we're supposed to have in salat, that means that you are so afraid, you're so overwhelmed with fear, that your muscles become numb and your bones become weak. That's khushu'a. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that the kafir on the Day of Judgment, his face will experience khushu'a. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells us in many other places of the Quran that khushu'a will be displayed and it will be shown on different parts of the body for a kafir. For example, he says, وَخَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ, that the voices will experience khushu'a. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ, that their eyes will experience خُشُوعًا. And here he says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةً, the face will experience خُشُوعًا. Now keep this in your mind. For the believer, where does he experience خُشُوعًا? Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ. For the believer, خُشُوعًا is experienced in the heart. But for the kafir, his eye, his tongue, his face on the Day of Judgment will experience khushu'. But Allah Azza wa Jal never describes the kafir as being, as having khushu' in his heart. Because this is something special for the believer. Now look what the ulama say in this commentary. They say, al-khushu' in any part of the body other than the heart, then that is غَايَةُ الذُّلْ. That is the nth degree of humiliation. If you experience khushu' in other than your heart, that's not an honor, that's humiliation. So now they're on the Day of Judgment, they're being humiliated, the fact that all their body has khushu'. And subhanAllah, look at this. Allah Azza wa Jal, He describes their heart on the Day of Judgment. But He doesn't say that their heart are experiencing khushu'. We said because if khushu' is in the heart, that's an honor. That's only for the believers. Allah describes the disbeliever's heart on the Day of Judgment. And we took this in Surah An-Nazi'at. قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ. And I told you what wajifah is. Wajifah is the fee that is, that you describe an animal with. Right? The Arabs, they used to slap their horse. And the horse would run away out of fear, and they say, وَجَفْتُ الْخَيْلِ, I made the horse fear, and he ran away. Use the verb, وَجَفْتُ. SubhanAllah, in other words, Allah Azza wa Jal has humiliated these kuffar. He's describing the fear of their heart, the same fear that is described for an animal. This is the nth degree of humiliation. SubhanAllah, this is how Allah Azza wa Jal describes their heart on the Day of Judgment. So khushu' is an honor for it to be in the heart. So now we're speaking about the face. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. That's how the face will be on the Day of Judgment. Now, so subhanAllah, in the previous surah was less, yani its theme was less than this surah. It wasn't as scary as this surah. So that's why سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى was used there. But because this surah is speaking about it has a tougher theme and it depicts more horror and anger, then the more powerful word is used, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, and this is, by the way, this is the kuffar we're speaking about. He says now, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. عَمَل means to work. عَمَل means to work. عَامِلَةٌ means to be put to work. In other words, Allah is saying these faces of the kuffar will be put to work. You know, how does that happen? How is a face put to work? I'll explain this to you. You know, if someone comes home after a long day of work, his face, you can see the exhaustion and the tiredness on his face. And if someone has been the whole day sleeping, or the whole day on vacation, holidays, his face is different. You know, one person been working the whole day on the roof, right, under the sun, and someone that's been sleeping that whole day, two faces, you're going to know which one was working and which one wasn't working. You can tell. So now, amila, it implies that on that day, on the day of judgment, there is some sort of work happening. There's something going on. What is that? You know, because when the ghashiyah happens, what do the kuffar start doing? And we read this. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. He's running away from his brother. They're running. Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَلَّا لَا وَزَرْ. There is no refuge. Where are you running? إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمُسْتَقَرِ. The ending, the final meeting is with Allah. So they are so tired because they're running around, trying to find an escape, and they have not found escape. So now their face is exhausted from this running they're doing on that day. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. This is عَامِلَةٌ. Now Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that this is the case of them in this dunya, that because they didn't work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, they didn't exhaust themselves in this world for Allah, they will exhaust themselves on that day. And subhanallah, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one time, he passes by a Christian monk, a very old Christian monk. And this guy has been, he's a big worshipper, he's a monk. And Umar radiallahu anhu begins to cry. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they ask Umar radiallahu anhu, what makes you cry, Ya Umar? But he says, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. In other words, what he's saying, he's saying this man, this monk, he's exhausted himself in worshipping in something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's exhausted himself in a worship that Allah won't accept from him. He's exhausted himself. And on the day of judgment, he'll be exhausted even further. So Umar felt that much to feel sorry for him that he has to cry. You know, because he's put his effort in something, yani from his youth, from his young age, until now, he's been working in something that Allah won't accept from him. So that's why he cried and said, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. You know, there's another worship, another worship that people do. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمُ وَالدِّنَارِ. That's another worship people do. May the slave of the, literally the dollar, a dirham, وَالدِّنَارَ and the cent. You know, may the slave of the dollar and the cent, may he be destroyed. As Rasulullah ﷺ, he says this. You know, we give our entire lives to work on expanding the business, you know, making it higher and higher up in the corporate ladder and so on. You're on holidays, you're talking to people about work, you're at home, you're speaking to your family about work, you're in the masjid, you're wherever you are, you're speaking about work. And subhanAllah, you speak to an engineer, all he wants to speak to you about is engineering and what kind of work he's got. You speak to a doctor, all he speaks about is medicine and whatever he's got to offer as well. And subhanAllah, psychologically they say, you become what you do, you become what you do. And subhanAllah, these people, you ask them, who are you? What do you do? You say, I'm a teacher. I'm an engineer. Yani, subhanAllah, yaakhi, you're a human. You're a Muslim. There are other things that you are. Yani, what you work is just a small part of what you are. That's not something huge. And subhanAllah, the whole life is work. And yani, these people, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ, it depends how it's done. It's done for other than Allah Azza wa Jal, and the mind is just concentrated in that and running after it. As the Prophet ﷺ says, literally people that worship the dollar, you exhaust yourself in the dollar and the cent, and then eventually what happens on the day of judgment is more exhaustion. There was no tiredness. You never found time to free it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how the kuffar yani live. Yani all his life it's spent in traffic, and then it's spent in work, and then at home he's speaking about work, and then wherever he goes, work, work, work. And you know what happens eventually? You feel like, yani, alhamdulillah, that's it. When they come to die, for example, you know, when a kafir dies, what do they have? Rip, rip, rest in peace, rest in peace. Yani, subhanAllah, how funny is this? Because you literally haven't rested in peace. That actually, compared to the hereafter, he was the peace, he was here. After that, there's exhaustion, there's tiredness, it doesn't end. For subhanAllah, the dunya is a holiday compared to what's coming for the kafir. Amilatun. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, He doesn't only describe the kafir on the Day of Judgment as amila. You know, these people, they wake up from their graves and they're exhausted. This is amila. They literally get up and they're exhausted. And people are putting a rest in peace on their grave. What kind of peace is it? From when he dies, he's being tortured in there. And when he comes out, there's more tiredness and more exhaustion. He's trying to run around to find an escape. And not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as being exhausted, He also adds on top of this, now siba. Now siba means يعني التعب, النصب, التعب. Tired. They're tired, wobbly. And you know, when you're now siba, يعني it has this sense. You know, when you're really, really, really tired, you just want to go to sleep. That's now siba. You just want to rest. Now siba. And you know, I give you an example so we can prepare it for the next ayah. Hotels nowadays, when people are on long travels, business meetings, and like this is high profile people, how they advertise and how they attract them to their hotels is that they advertise like a nice comfortable bed with a lot of cushions, you know, a recliner, a comfortable bed with couches and so on, lots of pillows. Then they even have a waterfall. You know, that they like sort of really set it up so they can make you feel comfortable. So now when you've come from a long trip and you're tired, you look at it and it sort of appeals to you. You know, you're really tired and you want something sort of, some sort of relaxation. So they have this sort of in hotels for people that are coming from long trips. And now, you know, and after your trip, you're finally, you're done. All you want to do is relax. So that's how they appeal to you with these images. So now let's see here. These people have worked all their life in this world. They've worked and they died. And now they're in their grave. And now they come out and they're exhausted. What's now before them? Allah Azza wa Jal says, what does Allah Azza wa Jal have in store for them? He says, Dasla naran hamiya. You know, you think there's going to be some sort of hotel you're going to relax in? Look what comes after it. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Tasla naran hamiya. Tasla means they will be throwing themselves into the fire. And Tasla, this that, it is going back to the faces. Tasla, ay Tasla al-wujuh. The faces will cast and throw themselves into the fire. Now, subhanAllah, you know, the first thing you try to cover when there's danger is your face. Like say for there's danger in front of you, something being thrown at, someone's telling you, watch out. The first thing, it's a human instinct that you come to try to cover your face. And that the very same face that you will run to cover here is the very same thing, the first thing that will be thrown into the fire. Be thrown on their faces into the fire, we'll say why the face is mentioned. So, and this is subhanAllah, as a humiliation, Allah Azza wa Jal says, or he makes them throw their faces first into the fire. Tasla, meaning it'll burn within the flame. Within the flame. Tasla naran hamiyah. And nar, which is the fire. Hamiyah, very interesting word. Focus on this word. Hamiyah, in the Arabic language, comes from hama. Hama has two meanings. Hama could either mean that it's a scorching hot fire. Hammaytun now, for example. I intensified the fire on this fire and it became really hot. And hama, you can say hamaytu rajul. I prevented this person, I protected this person. It has these two meanings. One means an intense, a fierce, intense flame. And the other meaning, a preventative, something that prevents you. How is this understood on the fire? You see, the fire that the kuffar will burn with is an intense fire. An intense, scalding, scorching fire. And at the same time, as hot as it is, it prevents their skin from disappearing and burning away. It prevents them from dying. It prevents them from relaxation. It prevents them from any stop in the pain while they are being burnt. This is how we understand hamia, in the understanding of it being preventative. Prevent you from what? Prevent you from burning and relaxing and actually dying. And on top of this, it's fire. It's at a fierce, intense fire. This is tasla naran hamia. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, tusqa min aynin aniya. And you know, subhanAllah, when there is so much pain, what's the first natural thing they're going to look for? Water. To turn this fire off. So now Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us about the water. Here, tusqa min aynin aniya. Tusqa. The ta, still referring to the faces. He's saying faces will be given to drink. The face will be given. And I promised you I'll say, why faces? Why does Allah mention faces? You know why? Because arrogance and emotion and anger and lying and shouting and swearing at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the insult at this Quran and this deen, where does it happen? It happens on the face the most. You know, if someone is arrogant, you can't tell arrogance from someone's hand or from someone's leg. So the same thing that showed the arrogance will be the first thing to be thrown into the fire and burnt, because that's where all the emotions were. So tusqa min aynin aniya, tusqa, it is referring to the faces. Tusqa literally means that the mouth will be open and a fluid will pour in it. And for example, you say in Arabic, saqaytu rajul. Saqaytu rajul would actually mean you got the cup and you gave the person or the man to drink. And this is something that's done for humans and something that's done for animals as well. You know, like you saqaytu al-ba'ir, for example, baby goats or something, you give him the bottle and you feed him. That's tusqa. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying literally their mouth is open. It's going to be open like animals. And the fluid will be pouring in. What will be pouring in? Min aynin aniya. Ayn means a spring. But I want you to be very careful on how the wording is coming here. Ayn is a spring. And when you hear the word spring, it's got sort of a relief, some sort of positive note to it. And a ayn, a spring was called a spring because water comes out. Also the ayn, our eye, is called the ayn because that's where the tears come out from and that's where it's always moist. You know, for example, hur al-ayn, they're called hur al-ayn because it's something beautiful for the eye to look at. That's where the word ayn comes from. So ayn has these positive meanings. So you think that, or they're thinking that, they're going to be given some relief. Allah said ayn, maybe there's some relief. But then Allah Azza wa Jal adds, what kind of ayn is this? He says, aniyah. Aniyah comes from the word al-an. Ana, al-an. Al-an means now. And ana means when water reaches the boiling point, when it's intense, when it reaches the boiling point. That's aniyah. So this ayn, this spring, it'll gush out the water only when it reaches boiling point. Other than that, it doesn't gush. Tusqa min aynin aniya. Once it reaches that point, once it's boiling, now it comes out. And when it comes out, it'll come directly into their faces, straight to their mouth. It's just tusqa min aynin aniya. And subhanAllah, in other places, Allah Azza wa Jal says, taghli fil butun. Right? And you think, you know, when you drink something hot, what happens is as it goes in, the temperature drops. So it can be level with your body and then it goes in. It drops. It doesn't remain boiling at whatever degree you drink it. As a matter of fact, you fill in tea, 100 degrees of water here. As time goes by, it starts cooling down. And when you start drinking, it's already cooling down. But Allah Azza wa Jal says that when they drink it, it doesn't cool down. He says, "Taghli," it boils, and where is it boiling? Fil butun. in the stomach. That's where it boils. So it starts boiling in the stomach, and then it comes out of their bodies like froth. Right? This is tusqa min aynin aniyah. Very boiling hot water. This is what they all have to drink. And subhanallah, يعني, you read, this is Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And Al-Ghashiyah, the perfect sense comes into this surah. They will be covered with the fire. And then they will be covered now with this boiling water. Now we spoke about the drink. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the food. We'll conclude inshallah with these two ayat. So now that the drink is taken care of, and that's what it is, Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the type of food they'll have. He says, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. No food for them. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ. No food for them whatsoever. And the word لَيْسَ, it's to negate something, but you use this in the present. You negate now. If you want to negate something now, you say لَيْسَ. And it's not for the future. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal is showing His anger to these people. It's like they're being told, hey, imagine now there is no food. Laysa, right now, imagine this now. Lahum, lahum, because it came straight after Laysa, whereas in normal Arabic it's delayed to the end, Laysa, ta'amun illa min dari' lahum, but Allah said Laysa lahum, and what that creates is especially for them. And what does that depict? If especially for them there is no food, in other words, we're saying for others there will be food. And so subhanAllah, the verse, it implies anger towards the disbelievers, and it implies a mercy to the believers. When we read lahum, we become happy, right? We become happy. It's like a mercy for the believer. For them there isn't, as for others there will be. And what type of food is Allah speaking about? He says, illa min dari'a, except from, min dari'a. And dari'a is this, dari'a now, it means like, you know, the raw seaweed, the seaweed that washes up on the shore. Even animals don't eat. Sometimes humans eat if it's processed and so on. That's dari'a. But the meaning of dari'a in the Arab time, in the Arab terrains, in the desert, dari'a is actually, it's a thorny tree. It's there. I'll tell you something about it. It's a tree that is poisonous. It's thorny. It's itchy, it's nasty, it's spiky. Even animals, they try to avoid eating from next to it so it can't poke them, and then all of a sudden they'll start bleeding. They try to avoid it. The only animal that eats dari'a is the camel. And this is part of the amazing, miraculous creation of the camel. It's very important to note the camel, because towards the end of the surah, we'll read, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. We'll tie up why does Allah Azza wa Jal mention about the camels, and now here He's speaking about the food of the camels. And so He says, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. And the ulama actually say that the word dari'a is the common word for all the food in the hellfire. So you have zakkum, you have ghislin, but dari'a is the common word. When you say dari'a, it's like it includes everything in it. And this is actually dari'a, it's still there, it's in the desert, it's this thorny plant, no one comes near except يعني, the camel. You know, it has the fat lips, and he's able to eat it, and he's able to digest it in his stomach. And that's why the Arabs would love the camel, because it's not an animal that you have to take care of. Just buy a camel and he'll take care of himself in the desert. You know, he'll fix himself on whatever, he'll eat whatever. Other animals, you need to prepare for him some hay and some... There's a bit more cost and a bit more effort. But the camel is something really nice and easy. It goes and it comes by itself. إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ, except from... It's very important, this word, illa min. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't say, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا ضَرِيعٌ. He says, illa min, from. And what this depicts is that they are looking for it. They're in the hellfire, and they have to look at where this tree is. This is what min implies. They have to search for it. And you know, this adds more to the horror, because when you're searching for it, you're being poked from one side and poked from the other, you're trying to find where this tree is. And not only you have to find it, you need to pick up from this tree and start eating from this tree. This is لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. And subhanAllah, look what happened. The disbelievers, they heard this ayat. So of course, you got to imagine as well, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting this ayat. And the kafir, he heard this. And so some of them, they didn't take the message serious. Oh, of course, we know that. And they made fun of this. And what did they say? They said, Dari'a, well, that's not so bad. You know, our camels survive on Dari'a. And our camels are healthy and become fat from Dari'a. That's not so bad. We'll try Dari'a. It's all right. Now Allah Azza wa Jal responds to them in the next ayah. This is the final ayah. He says, لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع. They're thinking that, okay, Dari'a is all right. If our camels survive on it, we'll survive on it as well. So Allah says, wait a second. لا يسمن. He adds, he says, it doesn't add to your fat. لا يسمن. It's non-nutritious. There's no nutrients in it, you know. Nowadays, we eat food that's not nutritious, you know. No nutrition in the food. But then Allah adds something else. Because you could say, لا يسمن, so what? Nutritious. Well, we eat food now that is of no health and of no benefit to us. And so the kafir is thinking, alright, if Allah is saying, لا يسمن, big deal. We eat it here, they eat it there. Then Allah Azza wa Jal adds one more thing. This is what adds the horror. He says, وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوعٍ. And it won't make them free of hunger. In other words, when you eat the food that actually is non-healthy and so on, when you eat this food, at least it fills you up. It fills you up. It satisfies that hunger. But Allah adds, He says, وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوعٍ. It won't make them free of hunger. In other words, they'll keep eating and eating and eating and eating and not feel full. And so, also the other thing is, when you say ta'am, when you say food does two things. It tastes like food, firstly. And the other thing is, it fills you up. And this is exactly the two opposites that are happening with their food in the hellfire. Firstly, when you taste something disgusting, you don't continue, you spit it out, and you don't want to eat this anymore, you know? But the kafir will keep eating out of desperation. And he will eat, and there's nothing that fills him up, you know. And it doesn't fill him up, it doesn't make him fat, لا يسمن. And at the same time, it doesn't free him from his hunger. So what is he going to do? He's going to keep eating. For subhanAllah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal not to make us from these people. And subhanAllah, you know that this surah, it's a bit harsh. In the previous surah, there was soft advice, there was soft warning, you know. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. You know this message, it came in the previous prophets of yours, in previous scriptures, the scrolls, go have a look at it. It was soft. But now this advice here comes a bit more strong. Because if the student doesn't respond, if he doesn't learn, what's the next thing you do? You threaten him, you start shouting now. And so this is the theme of this surah, it's coming very strong. InshaAllah ta'ala, next week, we'll describe the other faces. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ. And don't understand that. Why did Allah begin with the ones of the hellfire? And then He mentioned the people of the paradise second. Yeah, these are very sensitive things in the Qur'an. You know, what comes first, what comes second. But the fact that Allah doesn't say, وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ, that's where the secret to this is. Because when you say وَوُجُوهٌ and faces, then that means you've put them in order. But the absence of the waw, then it doesn't mean that Allah is putting something in order or preferring something over the other. Some faces are like this, the other faces are like this. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make our faces وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ. InshaAllah ta'ala, this discussion will come up next week بِإِذْنِ ta'ala. طيب, before we conclude, is there any questions in relation to the lesson or something close to the lesson? That means when we finish, no one comes and asks a question. This is what I said last time in a lesson I gave in Camel Town. And subhanAllah, question came after question after question. And I explained why, and I've told you why, and I'll repeat why. Because sometimes your question really is of benefit to everyone. I don't want to hear it, I want everyone to hear it. So don't underestimate your question. If you have a question, ask it. Because I'm not worried about answering you yourself. My worry and concern is that you might ask a question that was very important that others would have benefited from, that won't have that chance because you shied away and never asked it. طيب, so we'll begin again. Allah.
Ania, you said something about now.
Ania? No, no, it's got nothing to do. Al-an, na'am. Al-an, of course, so we can tie them up. We said al-an means now, and ana means when it reaches its filing boiling point. So how? What we said is that when it reaches its boiling point, now, at that time, it will gush out. So that's how we understand now and boiling. Once it reaches the boiling point, that point that it boils, now it'll gush out of the spring, and they'll drink from it.
You mentioned ata and ja, and you said ata is usually used for something easy. But when you go to Surah Al
I'll explain this for you. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah Azza wa Jal begins, he says, Ata Amrullah. Ata Amrullah. And in Surah Ghafir, he says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قُضِيَ بِالْحَقِّ وَخَسِرَ هُنَالِكَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ So the same Amrullah is being spoken about, which is the command of Allah, which is the Day of Judgment. At one place he says, جَاءَ, and here he says, Ata. In Surah An-Nahl, the Amr, the command of Allah, hasn't come yet. And the proof of this is that he said, فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُهُ, straight after it. Don't rush. He says, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, and what that means is, سَيَأْتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ, that أَمْرُ اللَّهِ will come. In other words, it hasn't come yet, and then he says, فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُهُ, do not rush. So it hasn't come, and because it hasn't come, it's a lighter matter, so he said, أَتَى. But in Surah Ghafir, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قُضِيَ بِالْحَقِّ When the Amr, when the Day of Judgment arrives and it comes, over there, Allah Azza wa Jal will deal justly with the people. So that's speaking about when we're there. Amma the Surah An-Nahl, we still haven't got there. Allah is saying, don't rush. So you rushed.
Why the word hashya has been used at one place, like for heart, for honor, and for the face as humiliation? What is
the difference? We said the difference is that al-khashiyah is a fear that envelops the body. A fear that envelops the body. That you fear something greater than you. That's khashiyah. Khasha'a, that's special for the heart only. That's only special for the heart. As we said, يعني الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم. And in this world, خشية in the heart, خشوع in the heart is an honor for the believer. خشوع elsewhere and other body parts, then that's the nth degree of humiliation, as the ulama say. نعم. And there is one more thing I forgot to mention, is that a beautiful hadith, a very nice hadith comes, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, that لا يجمع الله على عبد أمنين ولا خوفين من أمنني في الدنيا أمنته في الآخرة من أمنني في الدنيا خوفته في الآخرة ومن خافني في الدنيا أمنته في الآخرة. Beautiful hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says that Allah Azza wa Jal will never gather for one person two fears. And he'll never gather for one person two safety, security, feeling secure and safe. He'll never make two for you. The hadith says, if you fear Allah here, he'll make you feel safe and secure there. And if you feel very safe and secure here, خوفته في الآخرة, I put fear in his heart on that day. So the believers actually on that day, there is no khashya, there is no khushur, there is no khashya in them. That was here. If it's here, then that's it. It doesn't exist on that day. That's why the ayah will say, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٌ لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةٌ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, and so on. So the true believer doesn't experience no khushu'a, no khashya, no nothing on that day. Doesn't have this. Allah removes it from him. Why? Because he developed it in this life, truly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will not gather two fees with you, nor two protection for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ